Here on a Tuesday night with Rhonda Barber as we get ready for the home finale with the St. Louis Rams coming up on Sunday. Can it already be the final home game of 2012 about to be played at Raymond James Stadium? And without further delay, we say hello, good evening to number 20, Rhonda Barber. How you feeling?
TJ, I'm doing all right, man. And yes, this is the last game of 2012 in Raymond James. And the only reason I know that is because Christmas is 6 days away, and I
gotta start plotting and planning.
We'll
get into this as the evening goes on about how much you've accomplished, if you've accomplished all of it, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe the fans will give us some feedback. So that's a little tease for later on in the show. But all right, we'll get this out of the way. You have been around for a while, as we often talk about. You have, on occasion, throughout your career, had a game like what happened on Sunday. A couple days later, what do you make of it? What do you learn from it? And what do you do moving forward?
You know what? Excuse me. There's not much you learn from games like that, to be honest with you. I've played a long time, and I've played in some games like that. And I can think of two or three off the top of my head. Where you just don't have it, for whatever reason. And believe me, last week wasn't a week any different than any other. I felt like we had good preparation. I felt like everybody was ready to go. And, sometimes you get in the games and it doesn't go like you would anticipate it. And, you plan all week. We have a process of how we get ourselves ready for the week and, some of the goals that we're trying to get done during the game. By the first half, all of them were completely out of whack. And that's when it's hardest in games like that, because – no matter what you do, no matter how hard you're trying, it doesn't turn out the way you want it to. And that was definitely the case Sunday. I mean, I don't think anybody quit. I know that's the tag term that amateurs like to talk about, but nobody quits in this league. You play it through. It may not, you may not have your best, which we certainly didn't. But I know one thing showed up. Guys still played, through the end of that game. That's if you're going to take anything, that's it.
I know that there has been a lot of reaction and look, I've done this for a long time, and this, Rhonda, that Buccaneer Mondays for a lot of years. I remember Buccaneer Mondays doing radio back in the 90s, the pre-Tony Dungy days, mm-hmm. and it was like what the last couple of days have been, almost every September through November. And then by November, we were talking about the draft. Mm-hmm. So I'm not someone that's unaccustomed. I'm talking about like 10 of the 12 weeks are weeks where you're getting beat decisively and the fans are up in arms and want to get rid of the quarterback and get rid of the coach and get rid of all the players. So I've been there. I've done that. One thing I would say about this particular game on Sunday, and it's going to sound in some ways, he's just flying the flag. He's just defending the team. There's a play to be made here or there. And the first half in particular changes dynamically. Because you've been out a lot. Yeah. I mean, if the double move by Mike Williams, which we talked with him about last night, if Josh and Mike connect there, it is a 10-7 game and you're kicking off. Instead, the next play is an interception. They eventually score and it's 17-0. It takes the offense out of trying to run the ball. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but I'm just saying this to the audience. There are moments and plays in that first half before the game is 17-0, 24-0 at the half that could have made the first half different. And sometimes it's just the NFL. It's just how it goes, right?
It is. It is unfortunate, especially those turnovers. The biggest correlation to winning and losing in the NFL is turnover ratio. And we'd been really good all year with that. And we were decidedly not so on Sunday. And if you want to point to one thing, that's it. Cause those red zone turnovers are points, obviously. And another thing, we didn't on defense, we didn't win on first and second down. If you look at the third down ratio, which we've been, kind of approaching our goals this year, they didn't have a lot of opportunities, but they were just marching up and down the field in first and second down. So whereas it looks like we did all right and we won the third down battle. They were getting chunk yards on first and second down and closing the field and changing field position. And, if we were able to get, one or two stops in that first half, it changes things. If we're able to get a stop in a 2-minute drill, You know, going in 17-0 instead of 24-0, it changes things.
Right.
So there's a lot of little things, and things that you can obviously coach off of. But to be honest with you, I don't think that Coach Shiano will even look at this film. I mean, there's not much that we can garner about ourselves from watching it. I mean, it was uncharacteristic of us. You know, we've lost some games. Yeah, we've lost four in a row. But we've lost. They've all been close games. Games where we were in it at the end, had a chance to make a play at the end of the game and win. This was the first time, you know, for this team, you know, that it was lights out, and you know, we were pretty much knocked out in the third quarter at some point. So that's there's not much you can gain from that. So we'll let it go and move on. You know, because regardless of what it looks like on paper. You know, this is still a team that has a chance to play two more games. You know, everybody was pretty miserable leaving the building after we got back on Sunday, and you know, I saw Bill Sheridan as I was walking out. He was driving out. He rolled out the window and said, "I got a silver lining for you." You just gotta laugh because Bill's got a way about himself, and he's like, "We get two more chances to make this right," and that's exactly why you gotta go in looking at this, is that. You know, the next 14, 15 days or whatever's left in the season, not that we're technically, mathematically out of the playoffs yet. I think there's some absolute bizarre way, but who wants to talk about that? But
Right.
for these next 15 days, you know, we had a chance to make, you know, what's left of this season, so something that we can be proud of, because I think everybody was embarrassed by the way that game. Finished on Sunday, and I don't think anybody wants that taste in their mouth any longer than it has to. So, you know, December 21st or whatever, 22nd can't get here fast enough.
That's right, for this Sunday and that matchup. All right. Again, you can join us on the phones here. We're going to get to your phone calls coming up here in our next segment, and I promise we will talk some other things besides just football. A little holiday Christmas conversation with 2-0 coming up. You can join us at 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS wherever you can hear the show. And we've taken calls throughout the year on this program with Rondé and with all the shows from all over the country and even out of the country on a couple of occasions. So 1-800-596-BUCKS wherever you can hear us through the technology. 1-800-596-2827 is a toll free way to get to my man Eric, who is manning the phones and making sure that we sound good here tonight on the Buccaneers Radio Network. One more. Jimmy Graham played in this game. The tight end for the Saints did not play in game number one. He's obviously a playmaking tight end, and you were covering him along with your teammates for a lot of the game. How much of a difference was it in there with Jimmy Graham in that matchup Sunday?
He's a tough matchup, man. Him and Darren Sproles. Now, obviously, they have good wide receivers. You know, enough of them. You don't even need to name them all. It's just whichever wide receiver's out there, because Drew is so good at getting all of them the ball. But those shorter and shorter routes with Darren Sproles, and those routes over the middle with Jimmy Graham, they're almost impossible to match up. I mean, they're just problems. One with quickness, obviously, and one with size. But and you just know that going in. And other teams have had some success doubling those guys or doing whatever, but that's a tale of two evils. You know, what do you want to take away? The other four guys, three or four guys, or you want to take away those two? You kind of got to pick your poison, and you know, it's always going to be that way when you play those guys. Obviously, you know, we didn't do a good enough job on either one of them, but. They are a problem, and for as long as I think Drew is their quarterback, they'll continue to be a problem.
Voice of Rondé Barber, and we got much more with 2-0 as the show goes on tonight. It's our final installment of Buccaneers Total Access with Rondé, as next Tuesday night, as Rondé mentioned, will be Christmas night, and then things will be done by the time that the following Tuesday rolls around with the regular season finale. So our last chance to get to talk with Rondé, take advantage of it tonight, whether it be on the phones. You can also tweet me a question or comment. Do so at Buck Sideline Guy, BUC, Buck Sideline Guy. And we'll go along with that. We will pause here, and we will be back on this Tuesday night. Stay with us here on Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Toll free, 1-800 596 bucks to be with us here tonight. That numerically comes out to 1-800-596-2827. And in addition to your comments and questions, we might have some fun with some Christmas stuff or some holiday stuff. If you have gift ideas to give, what should we give Rondé? Or if you have a suggestion maybe for Rondé to give gifts, because you've got women in your life. I've got women in my life, and we're all kind of on the look right now this time of year, right?
I don't even try to look anymore.
You don't?
I just give me a list.
Give me a list.
Yes.
All right. You don't get creative.
No.
All right. Not that. But there's a little tease on that. We'll get into some of that as the show goes on. And we'll obviously talk about the Rams more specifically, the upcoming Buccaneer opponent on Sunday as Total Access continues. Let's begin with Greg in Hudson. You're on here with Rondé Barber on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Rondé. How you doing, guys?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Not much. I just wanted to let you know. I just wanted to say you're an awesome player out there on the field. And I hope you make it to the Pro Bowl. And you're great. I just like to say you're a great football player. You play your heart out there, and you get to the quarterback a lot, too, in the games. And that's awesome.
Appreciate it, Greg. Yeah, so, I forgot. We got this. This is the week where we get to vote on the Pro Bowl. That's always fun.
Take us through that. How does that?
How's your brother doing, Tiki?
He's doing well, thanks. Appreciate you asking. He's busy.
Tiki is busy. By the way, on the Pro Bowl ballot, how does that work for the players? As much as you want to share, because fans are always curious about that.
There's a couple of different ways you can do it, but at the end of the day, your team comes away with a ballot that they send in. And you just have to share that with the league, and that's how it gets, that's how the player vote gets in. Usually.
But in this case, you're only voting on NFC players, or are you voting for any players that are on your schedule, or how does that work?
We only vote on NFC offensive players.
Gotcha.
Obviously, the offensive side of the ball vote for NFC defensive players. The specialists vote for the specialists and whatnot. It's a pretty interesting process. I guess you can go through the process of filling out the ballots individually, but that takes a while, because, to be honest with you, if I'm not sitting in with the D lineman, I'm not really sure which offensive linemen are the best in the league. I'm not that intimate with them, and vice versa with, say, a defensive lineman and a linebacker or whatever. There's certain guys that everybody knows about, but there's a lot of guys that maybe having great years that you wouldn't otherwise have any idea about. So we do it as a team. We do it as a group, and everybody can give their opinion, I guess is the best way to say it. And then we put it in. I'm pretty sure that's how it works across the league.
And the interesting thing is there's also a fan component to this with fan balloting. Mm-hmm. And a guy by the name of Rondé Barber for much of this year has been leading the fan ballot in the NFC at safety.
Yeah.
So what does that mean to you that the fans are speaking out and wanting to see you back in Hawaii, Rondé?
I don't know. I think that has more to do with my name being at the top of the ballot than anything.
You always want to be listed first on the ballot. Yeah. in the election, right?
Yeah, exactly.
On the ballot itself.
I think I have some brand recognition that may be helping a little bit too, but you never know. I mean, I think I've had a decent season.
Interesting thing is that you've been around. And I remember you and Donnie Abraham, and I used to talk to you guys all the time on the radio that you weren't being fairly judged because you weren't well known enough back in the late 90s. And so now here you are.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
You're a veteran. You're saying, hey, I'm so well known, it's helping me. So it's come full circle.
It definitely does. Because in 01, when I made my very first Pro Bowl, obviously I had a breakout year, 10 interceptions, which was the most in a long time in the NFL. So that number jumped out for itself. And obviously I got all those accolades. That was my first All-Pro, first Pro Bowl, all that stuff. The very next year, in 2002, Brian Kelly led the NFL with 8 interceptions and did not get voted to the Pro Bowl. And it was, one of those deals where, he should have had the brand recognition. But because we had a team full of stars at that point, it was a team that went to the Super Bowl, obviously.
Especially on defense.
Yeah, especially on defense. He was completely overlooked. And during that time, Brian and I were very competitive about, our stats and about, the way we were playing. I can't remember ever being more disappointed for him than I ever was for me not getting to a Pro Bowl, because what he had put on film was unbelievable, and just nobody recognized it. And it happens every single year. Now if he would have went and did the same thing the next year, or, had another stellar year, maybe they would have been forced to. But the process is it's not ideal. It's somewhat of a popularity vote. There's obviously some outliers that get everybody's attention, that you say, okay, this guy deserves it. But the true measure of great players in this league is often overlooked by that Pro Bowl ballot. So
no doubt.
Don't take too much credence in it, because there's a lot of good players that didn't make many Pro Bowls. London Fletcher, for one, the guy that's got the second longest starting streak to me, didn't make a Pro Bowl until, I think, 2 years ago, and that was as an alternate. So, and he's had a great storied career, but he never made it. So,
it's how it works sometimes.
It is.
There is a popularity element for sure. And again, the voice of Rondé Barber with us on Buccaneers Total Access. Back to the phones. Joe is next in Palm Harbor here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Joe.
Happy holidays, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Likewise.
Maybe everybody knows you now, Rondé, especially after running that playback against the Philadelphia Eagles 10 years ago.
Yeah, he's got brand recognition forever off that play.
Yeah, I
agree.
I got it now.
I know every Bucs fan will vote you for the Pro Bowl, no matter if you're playing it or not.
Appreciate it.
That's true. You might get votes after you're done with your career. It could be
hey,
right
Rondé, playing safety this year, I've noticed your tackling is still superb as always, and it does seem to be that you're involved in different types of tackling.
Yeah.
And it also looks like your speed, even though maybe obviously you can't get faster as you get older, but your football speed looks faster playing from a safety position. And is that just because you know the angles and know the different routes to take?
Yeah, it's just playing from a different part on the field. I don't think that I've gotten any slower. I mean, maybe I have. I don't measure that at all in the off season or anything. But it's just you play safety, you anticipate a little bit more. You see the field, you see the entire field. You know where things are going. So if I look faster, it's just because I got a faster head start, I think. tackling from there is completely different. You have a chance to figure out your angles. I mean, that's, over the years, playing with the guys that I play with in the secondary, the Lynches and the Dexter Jacksons and the Jermaine Phillips of the that I play with, and they all talked about angles as being the key to tackling from safety. So, it's I think it's a little bit easier, really, from the back end than it is from corner, because the corner, it's almost reactive. It's almost like you got to drag guys down unless you get like a kill shot, but that doesn't happen very often. So, it's just a technique thing. I've had to work on it. Believe me, I didn't feel like I was very good at it at the beginning of the year in the preseason, but I took the time and tried to figure out what would best work for me. And taking some of that knowledge and working on the practice field, I think I'm still a pretty good tackler from back there.
Hey, along these lines, because we're always learning from you on this show, tell us about how much you guys as players, Mark Barron in that room, Ahmad Black in that room, among others, along with your position coach, Coach Cooper, Ron Cooper there, how much do you emphasize in the meeting room tackling, on the practice field tackling for your position?
Yeah, with Ron and Jeff Hafley, who's our safeties coach, and all the other coaches, Bob with the linebackers, Randy with the D-line, Coach Cox. We go through tackling circuit every single day. It's the one thing that we do every single day in practice. And there's six stations or whatever, and there's different types of tackles and different things that you could take forever getting into. But it's the one thing that Coach said at the very beginning that we will do every single day we go out to practice, and it is. And so you go into every game, or you go into even every practice with a plan, with a tackling plan. And I remember on this show a couple of years ago, somebody was asking me how you could be a good tackler. You know, talking to kids, you know, the little league kids. And I was like, the best thing you could do is teach them a plan. Give them a plan of how to make tackles. You know, it's not just throwing your body into somebody and, you know, hoping for the best. Because, you know, that's, I think when I was a kid, that was the going conversation. Just hit them as hard as you can. It'll go down. But if you give them a plan of how to do that, or how to approach the tackle, or what to do once you make contact, you know, all those things make you a better tackler, and ultimately make you a better player. So, you know, that's the goal. You know, that was coach's goal with his tackling plan. I honestly think that it's helped us this year, and will only get better, you know, for the team going forward.
Back to the phone. Stacy is also with us in Largo on Buccaneers Total Access with Rondae Barber. Hello there.
Hello, good Merry Christmas, guys.
Hey, likewise.
Okay, Rondae, as a Hall of Fame player, which you are, by the way, speak to preparation. Everybody all day has been calling into this radio station and others, speaking about Josh's preparation, Josh's, you know, his intangibles. Speak to what you see. I know you're not in the offensive room with him, but speak to his intangibles. Compared to the other guys that you played with. I think that the kid is only 24 years old and he's still learning. Maybe you could talk about that.
Yeah, you know what? Josh is one of the most detailed guys I've been around. And I don't know necessarily if that was the case last year. It certainly was 2 years ago when he had his breakout year. But he is about dedicated a guy, you know, in terms of preparation that we have on the team, you know. He's always walking around with, you know, material. Him and Dan, his backup, are always talking football. I mean, you should hear these guys go through their call sheet, you know, the night before the game. You know, if you get this, what are you thinking? If you get that, what are you thinking?
Right.
And it's pretty amazing to watch.
If I can stop you, Dan Orlovsky was with us Friday night on Total Access and spoke to that very point. About what he sees out of Josh in that meeting room, on the practice field, in the locker room, whatever, and you know, it was just interesting to hear him talk about that, because this is a guy that has been on a team where Peyton Manning was in the room with Indianapolis, although injured. He's been on other teams in Houston and in Detroit and watching it go on. So I thought it was fascinating to hear Dan talk about exactly what you were talking about the other night.
Yeah. So that's you know, that's not. A question with Josh, you know, if you ask Josh, you know, he'll tell you when he makes mistakes. You know, one of the two of the interceptions that he threw on Sunday, you know, we were talking about it when we got back into the building on Sunday night, and he was telling me what was going on and how it was a read, and just him and the receiver weren't on the right track. And you can see that on film. And just, you know, how you got to be smarter with the ball and whatnot. So, you know, it's, the quarterback has so much talent, a ridiculous amount of talent, and there's things that he can learn. Obviously, I said we won't learn much from this film. I take that back. Josh will learn a lot from watching that film. There's a lot of things that he can look at and say, if I'd have done this different, it would have changed, you know, a certain aspect of the game. So yeah, there are some things that we can learn. Individuals can learn from it, but. All that's part of preparation, and I believe me, he is a detail oriented guy, and I've learned to appreciate, you know, what it takes to be a quarterback in this league with just some of the guys I've been with. When Brad was here, Brad came in after Trent left. Trent and Sean King were before him. Brad came in, and you know, Brad was one of those guys that was, you know, impossibly detail oriented and, you know, kind of neurotic about some of the things that he did. And there's plenty of stories about Brad about, you know, how he used to change clothes 2 times before the game, all this stuff, you know, it's all this crazy stuff. But he had a method, and his method worked. That's why he played in the league for a long time. It's how he won a Super Bowl with us. You know, those type of guys are generally successful at playing that position. And I think Josh is on that track. I think he'll be one of those guys.
It's the voice of Rondae Barber. I know the head coach also said in his news conference yesterday that a quarterback that is sending me text messages at 10 o'clock at night about what kind of coverage he likes this throw or that throw against is a guy, he said, is a guy that is detail-oriented and a guy I want on my football team.
Absolutely.
And he's implying I get those kind of messages all the time, at all hours, from Josh Freeman, because he's looking at tape and thinking and caring about the game plan and what to do about it. So that's out of the head coach's mouth. Quickly before the timeout, Chris in St. Pete has been waiting for a while. You are next here with Rondé Barber on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Chris.
Hey, TJ. Hey, Rondé.
What's up, Chris?
Pretty good. As a long time Bucs fan, 36 years I've been watching this team. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we all know that was butt ugly on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But I was mad at a lot of people. Like I called Mike last night. I was mad at a lot of people on this team, not just one, but several. But Rondé, here's what I would like though, as a guy who buys the hats, buys the jerseys, buys all the gear, and never misses a game and has been following the team for 36 years. I want to ask you guys for a favor, let's say a Christmas present, if you want to put it that way. The next two games, can we just, throw out what's happened already? We're 6-8. We didn't get to where we really wanted to be up to this point. I'm sure we'd want to be a lot better. But can we just throw it out and start the 2013 season over these next two games, play them like we are setting the table for next year? Because a lot of times, as you've been in this league a long time, that spills over into the next season. And I would feel very proud and very confident if my 2013 Buccaneers come running out of the tunnel on week one, 8-8 and on the uprise with a two-game winning streak. So I want to hang up, Rondé. Could you speak on that, how important these next two games are for setting the table for 2013? And I'll hang up and listen.
Absolutely. It's I love quoting Herm Edwards at questions like this. You play to win the game. I love that.
That quote, by the way, from 10 years ago, the Super Bowl year, they did a special on that about you play to win the game when he was coach of the Jets, right?
But it is important, to finish any season strong. And I know the opposite, where you don't finish strong, and it spills over into the off season. And last year it spilled over into a coaching change and everything else. It's very, very important to be playing not only your best football. Obviously, we're not doing that in December because we've lost two games and we lost one very handedly on Sunday. But to finish strong, we talk about finishing and finishing and finishing. And we got 2 weeks to get it right. Like I said, like what Bill Sheridan told me, leaving the parking lot on Sunday. We got two weeks to make it right. I'll give you perfect example of that is Atlanta. I think 3 years ago, they were playing us, and they beat us at the end of the season to finish 8-8. And it was a team. Atlanta was perennially bad. They hadn't been good team since the early part of the 2000s. They won, went 8-8 that year. That next year, that team was markedly different. And obviously, they had a rookie quarterback, Matt Ryan, turned into a, pretty much a stud that next year. And they've been in the playoffs ever since. And it's hard to say, 2 years later, that they're not the most dominant team in the NFC right now. So I can trace that back to that year they beat us to go 8-8 in Mike Smith, maybe in Mike Smith's first year or second year as a head coach. And it's important. It does set a tone, and I'm sure that'll be the conversation for us when we go back to work tomorrow.
There's the voice of Rondé Barber. We will pause here. We'll come back with more of your calls. I promise we'll talk a little Christmas and find out about Christmas shopping around the Barber household.
Yeah,
we'll have some good stuff with that in a few minutes. And we'll talk some Rams, too, before we get out of here. Our final edition with Rondé Barber, as next Tuesday night is Christmas night. So we wish everybody a Merry Christmas in advance on that one. And the Bucs with two games remaining, including the Rams matchup on Sunday. We'll be back. It's the Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Here on this Tuesday night, thanks for tuning in. If you're just joining us, we've been talking some about the finish out here to the 2012 season, regular season home finale Sunday against the St. Louis Rams. Sam Bradford, Steven Jackson, and the Rams will be here Sunday, 1 o'clock. Tickets on sale right now. Make a great holiday gift, Christmas gift, stocking stuffer, whatever the case is. Got to give it to them in advance if it's a stocking stuffer, actually. So take advantage of that and come see your Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the final time in 2012. And before we get back to the phones, hey, let's pick up on that theme. You kind of teased us just a little while ago, Rondé, that you don't go shop anymore. You just do lists.
Yeah.
Do you, is it all online now? A lot of people only go cyber. They only go online. Or will you go to a store with a Target in mind and knock it out in person?
Online. It's so much easier. I don't have time to get out during the season. I mean, I could, but I'd be sacrificing a lot of other things that I normally do. I don't want to mess up my routine too much just to go shopping. So it's just easier to do it online. And I try to avoid clothes and all that other stuff just because you don't want to fit. So, but for me, what I'm learning is the easiest thing is just, hey, give me a Christmas list.
Little help, please.
A little help. I started by doing it myself. Like, here's what I want.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah. If you get an opportunity to get this for me, this is what I would like. So
interesting.
Yes.
Now, you're a parent. I'm a parent. There are a lot of parents that are listening. How cool was it the first few times on Christmas where the kids are opening up the gifts? How cool is that as a parent?
That's the best thing, you know, really. Granted, in this household, they get so many gifts. It's like too much. It's like overkill. And actually, the past couple of years, because we get so many gifts from so many friends, we end up making them choose which ones they get to keep, and we donate the other ones back to some charity or whatever. Don't tell anybody.
Rank them, and then say goodbye to the others.
There's
just
no point in having that many presents, to be honest with you. I mean, when I was a kid, I was happy if I got, you know, two or three things. You know, we'd have our whole family would be there, and if you had three or four gifts under the tree, you were doing good for yourself.
Right.
So, you know, just got to keep things in perspective.
Did you and Tiki, because obviously you're an identical twin, did you ask for same things, different things from Santa?
No,
how did that work?
We had to get the same thing. Are you kidding me? If we got something different, it was a fight.
You would get like two trucks or two footballs or two whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If it was a train set, you know, it had to have, you know, matching trains, all that stuff.
And Santa always came through.
Santa always came through. Santa was very good to me when I was young.
Excellent.
It was very fair, you know, to the Barber twins.
Love it. All right, let's go back to the phones. Here is Josh, who has been hanging in there in Tampa. You're next here on Buccaneers Total Access with Rondé Barber.
Hey guys, how you doing this evening?
What's up?
Nothing. You guys, first off, just want to let you know that you make the drive on 275 home on Tuesdays that much more bearable. Appreciate you for that.
No worries.
Glad we could help.
TJ, you got to watch your back, though, man. You know, been listening a lot this year when, you know, your mic goes down. Rondé, sounds like you got a little bit of that broadcaster bug in you.
Oh, it's not just a little. By the way, make no mistake, there's one star of this show, and it's not me. It's him. We know that. We've known that for years.
You know, the great Karnak would say, I see your future.
I did it for years. I had my own show for years, so it's not that hard.
But what I want to ask you about there, Rondé, is last night I'm watching Monday Night Football, and, you know, I think with the rest of America, you know, their favorite segment, you know, pregame, you know, come on, man.
Yeah.
And then sandwiched in between DeMarco Murray's pants malfunction and the Colts lineman digging for gold in the UConn was that little tussle there that Hayward had on the sideline with the linebackers coach. So I was wondering if you could, you know, as a defensive captain, you know, on the sidelines there, if you might be able to provide us with, you know, some insight into, you know, what was going on there. Was that just kind of a heat of the battle type situation, you know, and you know, do you as a captain have to kind of, do you step in there and, you know, set them straight, or, you know, what's going on there?
No, I didn't even see it. I think it happened when the defense was out on the field. And, you know, as I understand it, it's been addressed. You know, we gave us these last 2 days off, so there's really nothing for us to be concerned about with it. And believe me, it's the NFL, and motions run very high on our sideline. I'd be lying if I haven't been in some heated discussions with my coaches every now and then. I remember Me and Jimmy Lake used to do it about once every 3 or 4 weeks, but we were really good friends too. So, hey, it's one of those things that happens, man. You leave it where it is, and obviously there's you know professionalism involved. You don't want to see that happen. Grown men can generally handle things like grown men. You don't have to push and shove and whatever, but. Let's be rest assured that it's been dealt with and it will no longer be an issue.
There you go. All right. And, you know, the television cameras are everywhere at these different games, and they most of the time show everything that is only on the field. And then sometimes they have a camera on a sideline. And I would say just in general terms, there are numerous times in a game where there's disagreement going on in various form or fashion over on the sideline about what did you just do? What do you need to do better? It's common. Correct. Back me up on this because you're part of it. I mean, it's common that they're disagreeing. I'm not saying physical part of it, but there's disagreements going on all the time about who was supposed to do what and how and where. It goes on an NFL sideline every Sunday.
We talk about it every Saturday, too, about your sideline discipline. You know, everybody's on the sideline to solve problems together. You know, nobody should be getting called out on the sideline. You know, if you're going to get called out about anything, it should happen on Monday. So, you know, that's starting in the conversation right there. You know, it's constructive. You know, one of the things that Coach Shiano is really big on is not only preparing to the event, but through the event. So when you're on the sideline and there's, you know, whoever's not playing or, you know, because there's X amount of guys that aren't on the field at any given time, you know, this part of their job is to keep preparing the guys that are on the field, you know, come back with information when they come to the sideline. And so in that way, you're always preparing, you know, there's nothing that you leave behind. And I think that's a great philosophy because not necessarily that we didn't do that before. I think everybody kind of does it to an extent, but, you know, we really emphasize it. You know, you keep preparing. You prepare Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Saturday, you finish up your preparation. On Sunday, you know, you go into the game, and while the game's going on, you're still preparing for what's coming later, and that's, you know, that helps you in the long run. You know, and not only, you know, in the immediacy of the game, but, you know, later on, you know, when guys are trying to talk about what happened on any particular play, or the next day when you got to talk about what was a theme of a series or a game, you can always talk about it because you're continually preparing and learning as you're standing there. I think that's one of the great things that Coach has brought to this organization this year.
Voice of Rondae Barber, we always appreciate his insight. It's our final time to be with him on Buccaneers Total Access, as next Tuesday night will be Christmas night, and then we will get ready to play the final game with the Atlanta Falcons. So we always appreciate his insight. You ready to go from out of the area here big time?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's go to California. Ricky is in California tonight listening in on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey there, good evening. What's your question?
Hey, how's it going? Happy holidays to the both of you.
Likewise, man.
Rondae, been a huge Buccaneers fan I want to say the day I was born. My uncle's been a Bucs fan, and, you know, it's tough out here in Cali getting any kind of coverage we can, so I can't say that I go to the games, but rest assured, I buy all the gear.
I
just wanted to know that after all your years in the NFL, like, how do you feel looking at next season? What do you think of next season?
Other questions. First of all, Ricky, before you go, have you ever lived in the Tampa Bay area, or you've just always rooted for the Bucs in California?
Yes, as long as I can remember, my uncle was a football fan, and as soon as I could recognize and knew what was going on, it was just always the Bucs for me.
Right. All right, we'll be well in California.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about next year yet, to answer your question. I think I said this last week. I'm sure you out in California, you weren't listening. You didn't get a chance to listen to the show, but, you know, I can't put that anywhere on my radar yet. And I've tried not to do that the past couple of years, because I'm playing on 1 year deal. So I go into the off season with the uncertainty, which I'm comfortable with at this point. And, you know, Mark and the organization are comfortable with at this point. And, it's to be honest with you, it's less stressful for us all, because then we get to make a mutual decision. And we'll do that, you know, when the time comes, but right now I'm not thinking about it. I'm thinking about St. Louis, and subsequently Atlanta, and finishing this season as strong as I possibly can. That's what I've always done. You know, I told some of our beat guys, you know, because they come with the obvious questions of, you know, you guys are going to play this season out, or, you know, you guys give it up. Is this a repeat of what? I'm like, Jesus, guys. I mean, you sign up for 16 games. You play 16 games. You know, nobody comes to work just to go through the motions. It's just, if I'm ever around a guy like that, I'll let them know and let them know that's just unacceptable. I'll finish 2012 and 2013 like it always has. We'll take care of itself when the time comes.
You know, a year ago, you broke your forearm in the regular season finale, and I know you've told us on this show that because that was an injury and you had to have time to heal, that kind of factored into, do I want to try this one more time? And it took a little while to see, you know, was I going to be healed and those kind of things. So there's different dynamics is my point. Last year, there was an injury dynamic that was even involved, and would you come back for a 16th year, right?
Yeah, it certainly was, and that was a big issue. That thing is still bothering me today, but that is what it is. But you know, there's a lot of factors, you know, and they you know, I'll weigh them all evenly when the time comes.
Voice of Rondé Barber. We've got a few remaining moments with him. We'll try to get to a couple of more calls. We will talk St. Louis Rams as well as we continue on Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Then hit us up at 1-800-596-BUCKS. This is Buccaneers Total Access with Rondé Barber on your home of the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE.
Winding it down for a Tuesday night. Once again, in advance, we say thanks to Rondé Barber for being with us throughout the year here on Buccaneers Total Access on Tuesday nights. We will not be here on Christmas night next Tuesday, and then the season will conclude before we would have a chance to be back here on Buccaneers Total Access with him once more. So, again, thanks for that. And we're not done yet, by the way. A couple people still want to say hey. One thing I wanted to ask you about, you know, we've talked all year about young players. Mark Barron this past week, you know, made some plays. Not to say that he hasn't been making plays all year, but made some plays in that game. Fans taking notice. I know Coach Greg Schiano was talking about him on Monday. You're in the room and out on that practice field with him, and just say something about Mark, not just Sunday, but developing here throughout his rookie year.
Yeah, I love Mark, man. I love the way he approaches the game. And, you know, there's obviously some things that he has learned through his rookie year that will help, you know, immensely over the coming years. You know, one of them is how to practice. You know, it's something you always got to work with young guys is, you know, how to practice. Yeah, it's a full speed endeavor, even on the practice field. That's, you know, something you got to push all those rookies through. And I remember, you know, early in the year, you know, encouraging him to, you know, you're going to, you know, what you do now is going to reflect how you play on Sunday. And, you know, those type of things, you know, one of the things I'm enjoying about teaching him is those type of things. But the guy can play, man. I mean, he is a big athletic, I mean, huge athletic safety. You know, some of the splash plays he had on Sunday are just, you know, just kind of a preview of things to come with this guy. I mean, I imagine him having a long career here because of his athleticism, because of his smarts. You know, he has a knack for football, and you know, I really do expect big things from him, as I think does everybody else around here. You know, you don't pick safeties number seven unless they're worth it, and believe me, I think he's worth it.
And we saw some of that physical play there, and we've seen it at other times this year too, and that gets Buccaneer fans fired up. You know, you were mentioning about John Lynch or about Jermaine Phillips or about Dexter Jackson, and they would always, especially in a run game, come up and make a pop, or pop a receiver coming over. I mean, Jimmy Graham got lit up. I know he made the catch, but got lit up by Mark Barron, and I think that brought some Buccaneer fans back to Lynch and Phillips and Dexter Jackson, et cetera.
One of the things John used to say is, and it's different now just because of the nature of the game and, you know, the type of, I'll say, penalties they're calling nowadays. You know, he used to always say intimidation is a physical act, man. When you put stuff like that on film, you know, nice, clean hits on film like that, people notice, you know, and it affects the way the game goes.
Sure.
But believe me, you know, our secondary was feared and revered, you know, not only because of our playmaking ability, but because of the way, you know, we struck people on the back end. And when you have that element, it changes, you know, changes dynamic in your secondary. And Mark's going to be a guy like that. Obviously, I think he brings a lot to the table. But you know, one of his more intimidating sides is his physical nature. And you know, I expect a lot of that in years to come.
Quickly, Ron has been waiting, and you are next here on the Buccaneers Radio Network in St. Pete with Ronde Barber. Go, Ron.
Hey, TJ, always great as usual. How you doing tonight, Ronde?
Good. How are you, man?
Hey, good. I just wanted to say, Ronde, speaking of, like TJ was saying, you know, action sound on the sidelines, I watched a video, sound effects, with V-Jack and you, where they actually went during the Philly game. And let me tell you, I would be pretty scared of number 20. Full speed ahead, man. I was just so impressed. And in the Saints game, I noticed you were just pouring your heart out there. And my question to you, Ronde, is, has there been anybody that's been instrumental in your life? Or if so, the person that had the most, you know, impact positively, and if so, that you could tie it into football, or has it all been within yourself? Has it just been?
That one's easy for me because it's my brother. You know, I always had a competitor with me, you know, no matter what I was doing. And obviously, my mom was a huge influence to me because, you know, she's a football fan. She loved football. My dad played football at Virginia Tech, so she was always encouraging. I'm pretty much a self-motivated guy.
Did you have an early youth league or high school coach that impressed upon you and Tiki?
Yeah, a few. You know, there's a guy that's actually reflected in our books. I call him Coach Mike. His real name is Mike Tolley, who was our coach for a long, long time. And, you know, he taught us the basics, you know, taught us, you know, the mentality of a football player because he had that mentality himself. Actually, my junior high coach, who ended up being my high school coach, he moved to the high school before I went up there, who's now the principal at my high school, was also a big influence just because of, you know, just his knowledge of football and the way he taught football made me love it. And it's, you know, it's that love is fostered, you know, however many years later now. 20 years later. But you know, as far as a motivating factor, it was mostly me. But I love to compete against my brother, believe me.
If sure.
I somewhere deep inside of me, I had to be more successful than him. and I know he felt the same way, and it drove us both. And it was good for us. You know, that competition is good. You know, not finishing first all the time is good. It's great for your competitive nature. Believe me, I spent a lot of time not being the best at a lot of things. And, you know, it made me into the person that I am today. And that's reflected in the way I play football, you know, even at age 37.
Love it. Hey, I got about 45 seconds. Give me something quick on Sam Bradford, Steven Jackson, and the Rams who come to town Sunday.
You know what? This is a team it's really in the same situation as us. New coach going through transition, a team that plays hard. I mean, I talked to some friends of mine around the league that have played the Rams, and one thing they said is that this team plays hard. I mean, almost to the point that you feel like that they're playing not fair, but they just play hard. It shows up on film. That's really what we've been all year. So I expect that type of game on Sunday. They got some young players. They have a great running back. They have a great young quarterback. I anticipate a pretty even and challenging battle on Sunday.
We're excited for it. Listen, I have loved sitting here with you on Tuesdays. Next Tuesday night is Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Yep.
Be well. We'll see you on Sunday, my friend.
Yeah, man. Happy holidays to you and everybody else out there. And it's been a pleasure doing this with you this year, TJ.
There is Ronde Barber. My thanks also to Eric Sachs for being able to make sure that we sound as good as we could sound here on the program tonight. Again, Bucks and Rams Sunday at 1:00. Thanks for being with us all year long with Ronde Barber on Buccaneers Total Access. Good night.